Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, let me introduce to you to the greatest nachos on the planet today, Nacho Mama's Food Truck. You can find them, nachomamasseattle.com. And let me tell you, they've got five locations this week for you. I'll tell you about those in just a second. Let me tell you about the specials. Reubenator nachos, Fontina cheese sauce, corned beef, cabbage slaw, pickles, Russian dressing, and pickled red onions. And you can also get this not only as nachos, but as a tostada. And then some roasted tomato salsa and chips, dark chocolate orange brownie. Man, Nacho Mama's Food Truck, nachomamasseattle.com. You can see the specials and all the menu each and every week up there. You can also find all the locations they're going to be at this week, next week, and possibly the week after. Let me tell you where they're going to be. Like I said, five options this week. Load the family in the car. Go over, eat some of the greatest nachos on the planet. Wednesday, March 11th, Black Raven Brewing in Redmond, 4 to 8. Thursday, March 12th, Toot Brewing in Ballard, 5 to 8 p.m. Friday, March 13th, Karn Brewing in Kenmore, 4 to 8. Saturday, March 14th, Urban Family Brewing in Ballard, 1 to 8 p.m. And then Sunday, March the 15th, Locust Brewing and Cider. There'll also be five wineries at the Junction in Woodinville from noon to 5 p.m. Like I said, NachoMamasSeattle.com, also NachoMamasSCA on Twitter, at NachoMamas on Facebook and Instagram, hashtag Nachos and Beer.
Just on the ring defeat, if you want to call it defeat, Billy Jack, of course, you know, where we were sitting here, Oliver, we saw you use that thumb. Are you going to deny it or what?
I don't have to deny nothing. The man was using his boots on me. He was using his fist on me. He did everything he could to try to cripple me up.
Well, why should he be nice to you in the first place anyway?
I don't care, Stan Jack. It's between me and Billy Jack. It's not between me and you. Billy Jack, whatever I got to do, brother, I'm going to beat you. I just proved right there who the real champion is. No interference, no nothing. I'll beat you 1, 2, 3 right in the middle. You want to go out there and go head over me, toe to toe, brother. We'll get it on any time, same way. I got you that one. I'm going to get you one more. And I'm going to have the belt back around my waist where it belongs. And I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you like it. Or Don Owens likes it. Or Elton Owens, Barry Owens. I don't care. I'm going to go. I'm out for my belt. And I just showed you people who the champion is. I just beat him one fall. And I'm going to go out and beat him one more fall. And when that's over, I'll have the belt back around my waist. And Billy Jack, if you're able to leave the ring, I'll give you another shot back at it if you want it or whatever you want. But I don't think you're going to be able to walk away from the ring myself.
Well, you sound pretty confident, but don't forget we've seen Billy Jack on the receiving end before, and we've seen him come back. And he is a tough competitor, Oliver, no matter what you say.
I know that, Stan Jack. I don't take nothing away from the man. He's a street fighter. He's a boxer. He's an athlete, all-around athlete. I don't take nothing away from him for that. But I do take something away that's been stolen from me, and I'll go to any limit I got to get it back. So, Billy Jack, let's finish it right now.
Well, that remains.
Hey, this is the L-Train, and this is episode number 154, man. That was the great Rip the Crippler Oliver, being interviewed, by the way, by former WWF champion Stan the Man Stasiak. And we lost Rip the Crippler Oliver this last week. He was sent to hospice, I think, last week or the week before. I don't have the exact stuff up in here in front of me or anything. I just wanted to give a shout out to him for a minute. He's just he was an amazing heel in the day when I first started watching wrestling and Pacific Northwest wrestling. You know, I found WTBS and Georgia Championship first, and then flipping another day, you know, or maybe even looking through the TV guide back then. Remember that TV guide? And found this big time wrestling on channel, I want to say 8 or 12, probably 12. And man, Rip Oliver was on there, and he was the big, bad, dirty heel at the time. I think when I first started watching, Buddy maybe have just been out, had, you know, I think he went to WWF for a while, but then came back and rejoined the Army. Then I think Rip put one over on him and beat him down, and then Buddy kind of joined up with Curt Hennig, a very, very young Curt Hennig, not Mr. Perfect yet, but he was still great at the time, and also one of my favorites of all time, Billy Jack Haynes, and it was those guys taking on Rip and the Assassin, and I think for a minute maybe it was the Sheik, but then they kicked his ass out, and the Dynamite Kid came in. My timing might be off a little there. I'm just kind of going off the top of my head. I only looked up a few things here. I got, you know, Rip's Wikipedia up here in front of me, but, you know, you never know how much stuff you get on there. It does say he was a 12-time Pacific Northwest heavyweight champion, says more than anyone, and that's pretty awesome. I love that old belt, that old NWA Pacific Northwest heavyweight champion belt, man, that red, white, and blue, and then the gold plate on it. I thought it looked tremendous. You know, it kind of reminded me of a little bit of those old national tag team champions back in the day when the Road Warriors had those and stuff. They didn't have the same color. Those were black straps, but it had kind of that same kind of build, that same look, that old belt, old school belt look. And I just loved it, man. And then, you know, so him and Playboy had a feud there for a while, pretty much a blood feud, you know. These were blood feuds back in the day. Rip Oliver and, you know, taking on Buddy Rose, Rip Oliver and Billy Jack, and, you know, a lot of that stuff back then. I think the 3-on-3 was pretty much a blood feud. You know, can't recall because it's too long ago. I don't know if I ever saw the Assassin's mask get ripped open and he was bleeding or anything, but usually everyone else was pretty bloody in those matches back then. And, you know, I was at a disadvantage going to the live shows because I lived near Seattle, just south of Seattle. You know, the folks that were in Portland, all you kids that were my age at the time, you know, 12 under and all that kind of stuff, you got to have Portland wrestling on Saturdays and maybe even pretty close to you on a Friday or a Sunday. But up here in Seattle, we got it every other Wednesday. And, you know, and going to school and a young kid, mom's not letting me head out, you know, downtown with uncle to go check out a couple, 3 hours of wrestling and get home late at night and try to go to school the next day. But I did get to see more in the summertime or, you know, on Christmas break and things like that. So that was really a lot of fun, a lot of great memories. But still, I always remember Rip Oliver being that amazing heel. Like, him and Billy reminded me of Dusty and Rick. Just that, you know, they were so great together. And it was a blood feud, and everyone had their side, you know, and just they would beat the literal hell out of each other and tell an amazing story. And let me see if I can play a little something here off YouTube here real quick.
Okay.
We've got, in the crow's nest right now, ladies and gentlemen, Rip Oliver, the Assassin, the Dynamite Kid. We're not even going to be able to go back to the ring. Dutch is here with an interview.
We're going to wrap this up with Rip Oliver and a new plan.
I got a few things I got to say. Don Owens, you pencil neck geek, you've insisted that the clan goes against Buddy Rose, Billy Jack, and Curt Hennig here next Saturday night. Well, okay, I never back down from nobody. The clan never backs down from nobody. Everyone in the Northwest knows that. So I'm telling you one thing. With that, we're going on with a match, but I protest at being on TV. When I get you up in that office, Don Owens, I'm having it out with you. It will not be showed on TV if I've got anything to do with it. Now, they're changing things all around. Up in Wenlock tomorrow, Billy Jack, myself, we're going to get it on there, baby. Down in Klamath Falls. Elton Owens sent a special message up here. Rose and Curt Hennig going against the Assassin and myself there. Everything's changing all over all week. Let me tell you something, Buddy Rose. You think you're Mr. Goody Two-Shoe now, baby. But you get a look at this clan, and this clan's going to rip you a new one, baby. I'm telling you right now, you're going to be on the carry-out service. We're going to start crippling up. We started this week. You stuck your nose where it didn't belong. Now, I'm telling you, Rose, you, Billy Jack, Curt Hennig, I don't care where it's at this week, baby. You're going to pay some dues, and there's going to be somebody toting on that stretcher.
We got to get out of here, Don. Don't forget, a big six-man tag match, ladies and gentlemen, next Saturday night. The Clan against Buddy Rose, Billy Jack, Curt Hennig. Don, take us home.
Man, some of the best times there. How about Dutch Savage on the, you know, doing the interviews? He's also the color commentator. And then Don Koss. Man, love those guys. And that clip I played a while ago is, I think, when Dutch left and then Stan Stasiak kind of took over, or vice versa. You know, my timing's all off here. Just recording this here on this Sunday and just having a lot of fun. You know, the biggest memories two biggest memories I have of Rip Oliver, other than seeing him beat the hell out of my favorite baby faces every single week on big time wrestling on Saturdays. One was, you know, I'm a little kid and I got my little dollar white program with, you know, there were spots on the back of it where it said autographs and there was blank spots that you could take up to the wrestlers, which means you better take it up to the baby faces afterwards, you know, or if you can see them somehow during the show, walking up the hall or whatever it might be. But most time for me and my uncle, we would wait afterwards outside the Seattle Center Arena in the back where the wrestlers would come out and, you know, and the good guys would all sign your stuff. They'd love it, you know, Billy Jack and Kurt Hennig and those guys, Buddy even. And, but it wasn't really the thing back then for the heels to do autographs for anyone. They were healing, you know, you got to stay in character back then in the '80s. And I kept asking Rip when he walked by, kept asking Rip because my uncle was a big fan of Rip and the Clan. He was one of the guys that was into the heels, man. He was the bad guy and I was the good guy, you know, lover. And, but I think after so many times of seeing me there and this little kid asking Rip, I think he kind of just maybe felt bad for me and, or respected me. Like this kid keeps freaking asking me, or he just wanted to get rid of me. You know, he's like, God. So he gave me a quick little scribble on that. I wish I still had those things today because you could get them for $1. They'd be, you know, it'd have the match card in there. It might have a little couple quick articles, not nothing like a page long write up or a little quick Q&A or something. I can't even remember. You'd have to check with Matt Farmer and Jim Valley, you know, because they're the real historians of the Northwest Pacific Wrestling Portland back in the day. But so that's one. And then the other one was, and I've said it on here before, it was Christmas Eve. My uncle got me a ticket. I didn't even know until I was going that night to the wrestling matches. Christmas Eve, it was double cage match. It was Rip the Cripper Oliver facing Billy Jack. I think the title was on the line, plus loser leaves Seattle, which basically means loser leaves the Pacific Northwest. And then the other part of the cage match was the tag belts. It was Kurt and Buddy taking on the Assassin and I believe Dynamite Kid at the time. And I don't remember what else on the card that night. I mean, two cage matches. I mean, my gosh. But anyway, Rip Oliver and Billy Jack, loser leaves town for the title. And it wasn't a long match. I don't think it even lasted 10 minutes, but it was pretty brutal. Rip pretty much beat the hell out of Billy. I'm sure they were both busted open. And then I used to think that it was two pile drivers to put Billy at the way at the end, but I think it was two of the shoulder breakers. Now that I think about it, because I was listening to Jim Valley's podcast the other day. Him and another gentleman that I can't remember his name at the moment were doing a talk about Rip Oliver. And this was like maybe days before he passed when he was just sent to hospice. And they talked about all things Rip Oliver on there. And I thought it was really amazing. Anyway, I forgot where I was kind of going right there. But Rip Oliver, New Year's, that's what I was talking about, the double shoulder breaker. And I just watched one on YouTube yesterday, him giving it to, I don't know if it was Billy or somebody else. That was an incredible finisher. You know, it was great. Billy got to kick out of one and then Rip got him again and finished it. And I always remember, I was under 12 years old. I don't remember how old I was exactly at the time, but my uncle was pretty cool about me doing like maybe cussing or something. So I said, F you Oliver a couple times. And then he finally shut it down because it like broke my heart. Because Rip sent Billy, you know, out of town. You know, and I hated Rip Oliver back then. I hated Rip Oliver, the Assassin, the Dynamite Kid, the Clan, if you will, is what they called themselves, with a C, not like the Ku Klux Klan, like a different clan. But almost the same way I hated Ric Flair, just because, you know, what he was always doing to Dusty or Nikita or, well, maybe not much Nikita, but Magnum and those guys back in the day, man, like cheating them, bloody them up, the Horsemen coming in there, kicking them down, just like the Clan did with Rip Oliver, man. But years later, I learned so much more to respect that stuff because, you know, as great as I loved my baby faces, they couldn't have been who they were without guys like Rip Oliver, guys like Ric Flair. Rip Oliver was a freaking professional. He could go out there and make people look like a million bucks. You know, Billy was, you know, a rookie. He was green when he was first coming in there. And, you know, I think Rip and those guys really took care of him and helped him out. And, hey, look what Billy did. He got to the WWF. He got to Florida. He got to WCW and more. And, you know, congratulations to him. But as much as I love him, he probably couldn't have got there without a guy like Rip helping him out. I mean, I don't know how close those guys were behind the scenes or if he was giving him, you know, advice and things like that. But as far as just wrestling with him in the ring, I'm sure that helped him tremendously and made him look like a million bucks. And man, there was so much great wrestling back then with Rip and Billy, you know, Dynamite Kid, Buddy Rose, The Assassin. There was so many great people back then. Al Madrill, Brian Adidas, you know, Chris Adams, I was looking at something here. I was reading online where because Rip later, he went to WCCW down there in Texas, you know, with the Von Erichs and all that stuff. And he actually, Billy Jack was there too. They had some stuff they did together. And man, Rip was there. Rip was also in the World Wrestling Federation. I just watched a match with him the other day when he took on Macho Man pretty much kicked his ass because, you know, even though Macho was a face, he kind of worked like a heel at that point. You know, he did a lot of great things and then came back to the Pacific Northwest, took on people, Bret Sawyer, Billy Jack, Buddy Rose, Bobby Jagger, Stan Stasiak, Larry Hanning, Kurt Hanning, Jay Youngblood, Piper, Tom Zink, Buzz Sawyer, man, and so much more. And it was a pleasure. It was an honor to watch that man. I got to see him pretty much in the prime of his profession. And sad to hear about those guys that you grew up on childhood watching. But he left us the other day on March 5th, surrounded by his family in a hospice. So RIP to Rip the Crippler Oliver, one of a great many memories of wrestling from my childhood. And thank you, Rip, for what you did, and I appreciate you so much. Anyway, for the rest of the show, just real quick, if you want to get a free 30-day trial to powerslam.tv, head over, use my free promo code BFPWFREE. That is Bigfoot Pro Wrestling, BFPWFREE. Get your free 30-day trial. You know, there's PCW Ultra over there, Bar Wrestling Progress. You can see some DOA and ECC Dub over there. Of course, Defy. They just dropped a show the other day, Wrestle Summit 2. So go check that out. That's some good stuff over there. Use that free promo code, BFPWFREE. And, dude, I just want to really get to this week's show. I don't want to talk too much more after talking about Rip. And this week's show is the one and only producer Rob. He's back. We're going to talk about WAC a few weeks ago, the big show, hashtag I Love WAC. Funny Bone was there and a bunch of other people. And sounded like a great card. Producer Rob got involved in that. And hear the story. Hear about what he saw until he got taken out of the show. And we have a great time. Before that, we talk a little football and some other stuff. So, you know us, we all just ramble on a little bit. So check him out, at Producer Rob on Twitter. And, you know, the next WAC show, which we are a proud sponsor of, will be Saturday, March the 21st. And that will be without a cause housing, baby. They just announced today the Black Sheep, Dave Turner, Cool Dad, Chris Rock, teaming up. And they're going to take on Effie and Danhausen, man, and that's going to be awesome. And there was another match, can't remember off the top of my head, but check it out. Go online, follow Without a Cause on Twitter and Facebook, and it's going to be a great time. Get your tickets. They got tickets on sale for the March show, the April show. The May show is coming pretty soon. And then they have tickets on sale for the June show, where you're going to see Nick Gage on that show, man. So, I don't know. This is the L Train. Check out our show every week over on SoundCloud as a part of the Pro Wrestling Only Network. Also on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just pulled that all out of my head real quick. And then also on our website, BigfootProWrestling.com. And man, follow me on Twitter at BFPW Podcast, at BFPW Podcast on Twitter. Thanks for tuning in each every week. We appreciate you so much. And I am the L-Train. And man, and if you haven't had a chance, head over, check out Rip Oliver on YouTube. He's just, you know, he cuts some amazing promos. There's some great matches on there. And man, if you haven't watched a lot of Rip Oliver, you are missing out on some of the greatest heel work there ever is, ever was, ever will be. If, you know, the Bret Hart thing, you know, whatever. But anyway, man, I'm the L-Train, and I'm going to leave the...
Can Rip Oliver.
That's right, Frank Bottom. You said the Pacific Northwest heavyweight champion. You're looking at him right here, baby. I got both belts to prove it. I got the tag team belts. I've got this belt. And if there was any more, I'd have them. I guess you see, we got the Playboy back. The Playboy's back in action, doing better than he ever has. He's looking good. Looks like he had a good time while he was off. And now we're back. We're going to get some business taken care of. And we're going to get things rolling here. And you people here in the Northwest, it don't matter, Salem, Eugene, Portland, it could be up Tacoma, it could be in Longview, it could be Tillamook, anywhere. When we come to your town, baby, the Army's coming. And the Army's going to bring these belts, and the Army's going to leave with them. So any of you think that y'all want to come in and interfere with us, y'all just come right on, baby, because the Army's ready, the Army's here, and the Army's going to stay.
What about the challenges, especially from Hennig and Hacksaw for the belt?
Well, like I said, when Hacksaw had the belt, he was a closet champion. I got the belt. I told them any one of them wanted a chance at it, they had it. The title's open. The contract's is open. All I got to do is put the name on the line. There's a couple of them already tried it. I done went through them. So all I'm wanting now is some more competition to come in that thinks they can take this belt and be man enough to do it when they come up here and put the name on the line. Because I got it, and I'm going to keep it as long as I'm here, and I'm going to be here a long time, baby.
Hey, yo, this is the Ultra, and we're back for another stupendous, fabulous, amazing show this week. We were going to do this last week, but I had all kinds of freaking problems with the storm that day. Pounded my house in the morning. I couldn't even believe it. But anyway, that doesn't even matter. I'm getting to a guy this week that is one of my brothers over at Without a Cause, one of my family. He's there each and every month pretty much, just like I am until this last month. But, dude, he was there for the show, and suddenly some shit happened. My man, producer Rob, how's it going, buddy?
What is up, L-Train? How the hell are you?
Dude, I'm pretty good. Pretty good. I'm doing, having a good night, you know. I just kind of chillaxing. You finished your dinner. I had my hamburger patties and, you know, excellent. I had a little mashed potatoes. I cheated a little bit tonight. Usually I don't have the potatoes, hey, but is what it
I
is.
I will never turn down a dinner with mashed potatoes.
I know.
But I can't fault you for that.
Yeah, you ever had these mashed potatoes? They sell it. I'm a big Trader Joe fan. I was already talking about some Trader Joe stuff before we even talked. They have these mashed potatoes. They're frozen, right? Mm-hmm. You take them home and you nuke them. They're those little pellets. They are stupendous, man.
I feel like we've actually had those once, yeah.
They're really great, and it's a good price. But anyway, man, mashed potatoes and just having a great night. But how about you, man? You just chillax in the night, family, no podcasting other than hanging with me tonight?
Yep, no, it's low-key evening tonight. I'm still somewhat in recovery. I tweaked my back at jiu-jitsu on Monday night, and I've been hobbling around a little bit the last couple days, so...
Well, it's probably more than that jujitsu, I guess. We'll get into that, right? Oh, man.
Perhaps.
I'm so pissed I missed that last show. But a quick icebreaker.
Yeah, yeah. What a coincidence, by the way.
Oh.
L-Train isn't there, and then all of a sudden shenanigans are afoot against producer Rob. I'm not crying conspiracy or anything, but it is a convenient coincidence.
Hey, man, I thought we were partners once a month. We, like, you know, did this little show. We did a little review there and stuff. But, you know, I do throw money at whack a little bit. But I promise you, my friend, it was Max's fault, not mine.
I have had more than one person, not counting or not even discounting myself, who's blamed Max for all.
Anyway, we'll get into the incident here in a minute, but I want to ask you a quick question. You might get pissed off at me. You might not. I know you're a big Cleveland Browns fan, but I got to ask a couple-part question here.
Okay.
Are they doing anything this offseason to improve themselves? And I'll just leave it at that, and then we'll get to part two.
Well, I would sincerely hope so. I mean, because in the grand scheme of things, I think every team that doesn't win the Super Bowl, and would imagine even the team that does, at the end of the day, is trying to do things to improve themselves. That said, I'm not entirely sure what the Browns are going to do this year. I mean, they have another new front office structure. So I know they've already announced that they're going to let one of their starting middle linebackers from last year, who was a free agent this year, they're going to let him walk. And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the hardcore fans are a little upset about that. I'm less upset about it, if only because, you know, you don't really pay. He's basically wanting at least a minimum of $10 million a year. And I don't know that you necessarily pay $10 million a year for a mm-hmm. middle linebacker, unless he's a Luke Kuechly type, and he's not. I mean, he's good linebacker, he's solid, but he's not that kind of next level.
He's no Bobby Wagner.
Exactly. So, it's going to be very interesting to see. I think once free agency kind of opens up, and I mean, they do have a lot of holes. I mean, they need both tackles on the offensive line. They can use some defensive line help. They can use some linebacker help. Maybe a wide receiver, depending upon what they do with a couple of their existing free agents. It'll be interesting. I fully expect and hope, as I do every offseason, because I am a stupid eternal optimist when it comes to my Browns, which is funny because in pretty much every other part of my life, I am a grumpy old negative bastard. But the Browns every year will have me feeling hopeful until about at least mid October. But no, I think, you know, they've got some good guys in the front office. I like who they have for their head coach. I like what they did for a new defensive coordinator. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm hopeful, but as of right now, they haven't done a whole lot yet because they kind of can't.
Well, yeah, it's March, 28th or 18th, something like that is when the next...
18th is when free agency opens, right. But I think the legal tampering period starts on the 16th.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I was only going to ask and you mess with you a little bit because, you know, last season, man, like the Cleveland Browns contingent thought they were going all the way, you know, after not even making the playoffs for I don't know how many years. You'd know better than me, but I was like, man, mm-hmm. they got a good team, but they might need to gel for a season or two, you know. But then it didn't really turn out well for them.
No, and it's funny because I know there was a lot of hype about them going into the season last year, and I always am leery about the team that everyone is kind of like high on going into the season, because I can't remember a time in recent memory when the team that quote unquote wins the off season does anything worth a damn in the regular season. And so once I started seeing all these people talk about the Browns, you know, winning the AFC North, going to the playoffs, even going to the Super Bowl, I'm like, God, this can't be good. And, you know, sure enough, it wasn't.
Exactly. You know, and I'm not like talking smack to you because the Seahawks were so fabulous. I mean, they made the playoffs and stuff, you know, and did better than people thought they were going to do. But they got still major holes on, offensive line, you know, even though they've been better, but they still need help there. So Russell doesn't have to scramble every play or every other play. And then obviously the running back thing hurt them. But hopefully those guys that we had will be back uninjured. And then the defensive line. Man, that was kind of just not good last year. Clowney looked good for a couple games, and then it's like, I mean, they could have easily went from playoffs to going, 7-9. So that could have happened too, man. We just got some lucky on some games too.
Yeah, and it's funny because I feel like ever since, I feel like it's been almost since Sean Alexander, they have not had a true solid stud running back since then. I feel like they've always done kind of a running back by committee.
Oh, pretty much. I mean, you know, we had Marshawn, you know, when he came.
Oh, God, Doug. Yeah, of course.
I was like, wait a minute, we're forgetting one guy here. But no, yeah. When he wasn't, other than Marshawn, you know, after he left, it's been running back by committee. We had Chris Carson, and he's over 1,000 yards, you know, last year, but he still, you know, was hurt, and he fumbles, and, you know, and then, oh, God, I can't even think of our backup name, right? He was having some great games, and he got hurt, too, and then the third-string guy got hurt.
Yeah.
So it's like eventually we're down to,
and,
yeah,
Procise. I don't remember who the other guy was. Oh, Rashad Penny.
Yes, thank you very much. And then, you know, so by the playoffs, it was Marshawn coming off the street, which, you know, he's still in good shape, but he wasn't in football shape, you know, and especially our line wasn't like we had the New England Patriots line or something like that. But and then we had the little dude name, I can't remember his name, little 25, but he ran hard, but he just didn't have, he was off the practice squad, I think. But it is what it is, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we'll see how it goes. But you ain't watching any of the XFL?
I've watched a little bit here and there. I watched a couple games the opening week, and then since then I've kind of been, you know, when I can, I do.
So could. Well, before the Cleveland Browns do any, you know, switcherooskies to the team, can the Cleveland Browns beat the best XFL team right now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I would even go so far as to say the worst NFL team, whoever that was last year, Cincinnati, Arizona, I don't know.
Yeah,
they would easily beat the best XFL team. Like people do that every year. It's like, you know, it's like good, you know, the worst team in the NFL beat, you know, the Alabama or whoever the top college team is. Of course they can. It's ridiculous.
Yes. They're, you know, NFL players, they're just at a different level. They're, you know, I mean, if you're talking about the college thing, they're just grown men. They'd go out there and with experience destroy a college team. You know, and a lot of the guys that are in the NFL are from college that never got a chance or, you know, a very low NFL spot or they played in Canada. So, yeah, I think the worst NFL team would pretty much smash the XFL team right now. But we'll see in 5 years. We don't know. Anyway, let's enough talk about football.
Know.
I got a little long there with the football, didn't I? Anyway, let's get to it, man. Let's, let's get to a little... Without a Cause, man. I missed that show. Whack.
Yes, you did.
I love Whack. And, dude, I'm super pissed.
I do, too.
It looked like an amazing show. Let's chat a little bit about it. Let me pull up some stuff here. You tell me about what you saw. We got to say right now, you only saw, like, maybe three matches, and then it was ass-kicking time.
Yes.
So let's just...
Yes, I saw basically pretty much everything before the first intermission, and yeah, we can kind of get into that later. But yeah, what I saw was fantastic, as I knew it would be. You know, Max and those guys always put out a great show and a great product, and what I was able to see, I was not disappointed with in the slightest.
Oh, man, it looked fantastic. So it looks like they started out with... Man, a Whack staple, if I can say that. Chase James, and he got to take on the one and only B-Boy who came in. He's been there a couple times, right?
This, I think, was his at least second time that I'm aware of. There may have been another one, but this is definitely the second one that I've seen him at. And that was, I had a feeling that was going to be a very rough ass-kicking match, and it 150% lived up to my expectations. Those two guys more or less beat the hell out of one another.
It sounds like a Chase James kind of match. Like, man, since he started, man,
pretty
since
much.
I've been watching him.
excuse me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Chase is necessarily trying to get a this more hardcore persona going, but I definitely feel like the last few matches that he's had at Without a Cause, they've been, I don't know that I would go so far as to say they've been full-on hardcore matches, but they've definitely been more, you know, a lot more physical.
Yeah, I mean,
and I like it. I think he does a great job with them.
He does. You know, he battled those ones with Drexel and, you know, Steve West, and he was in the four-way, right, when Effie came into town. And, man, all those were crazy matches, you know, and just, you know, like you said, I don't know if that's what he was going for, but he's been doing it lately ever since kind of he dropped the belt, right?
Yep. And we still haven't gotten him his damn rematch yet. And I don't know who we have to, I think we might need to start a hashtag, get Chase's rematch or something, because he is, poor guy has just been sitting there languishing and not getting his rematch, and I'm very upset for him. I'm upset on his behalf.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. I was trying not to get upset here tonight, Rob, but I'll take it down a notch. But anyway, man, how was it seeing B-Boy?
Oh, it was great. And the last time I saw him there, it was with the it was in a three-way, and he was teaming with Shotzi Blackheart and the now Joaquin Wilde in NXT DJZ on the Indies, and that was such a fun match. It was great to see him again. And like I said, I knew he was going to bring the ass kicking to Chase, and Chase, you know, to his credit, man, he brought it right back, and it was a fun opening match to the show.
And it looks like our boy went over. If WhackProWrestling.com results is correct here, Chase James defeated B-Boy.
Indeed.
Oh, good for him, man. See, a big out of town talent comes in. Chase puts him away, and he still may not get a shot next month. I don't even know if Chris Bay is going to be there next month. We don't know. But anyway, sounds like a great match, fun match. Congratulations, Chase. And then it looks like they added one of the tag matches after that, man. The Strays, who I've seen quite a few times, the Strays with Rabies.
Yep.
Taken on. I'm so pissed that I missed this, man. One of my favorites is, you know, the Black Sheep, Dave Turner. So to miss this guy teaming with his buddy Christopher, is it Rysek? Did I say that right?
I believe it's Rysek, yeah.
Thank you very much. The Glory Holes. I never had the pleasure of seeing them. I know they teamed up, I think, here and there in some promotions, but I'm so pissed that I missed that, man. How was it? I heard Dave kind of showed everything off that night.
So first of all, I just want to say it was absolutely a fun match. You know, it's funny. I had seen Christopher Rysek at shows all across. I know he and Brian Alvarez, who I work for on the Figure Four Wrestling website.
Never heard of him. Sorry, I don't know what he's talking about.
I think they're friends. They know each other. So I've seen him around numerous times. I mean, you know, he has a very, very unique look. So if you see him, you know, you will remember that. But this is actually the first time that I've ever actually seen him work. And it was, oh my gosh, he and Dave were... they were so fun. Just seeing them come out in the pink tights was just it tickled me to no end. And just having seen, you know, Dave in the doing the Black Sheep persona for so long, seeing him come out like this, just it was a sight to behold. And then as the match went on, there was definitely much more sights to behold. That, you know, I love you, Dave, and I mean this with all warmth and, you know, love, but I never want to see that much of you ever again.
Don't want to see the Black Sheep Reary Andy there, huh? But man,
yeah, the Black Sheep with the blue thong, I believe.
Oh my gosh, you know, and yeah. And hopefully in the next few weeks, the next month, this show will be up on independentwrestling.tv, man, because I can't wait to see that, because I missed it, because I know they just dropped Whack 2020 up there just the other day.
Yes.
And I just want to tell everyone real quick.
I did notice that.
If you use WAX promo code, I'm going to sell it here, man, for them. WAC.
Do it.
2019 WAC 2019. You can get yourself a free trial. Top of my head, I don't know how long the free trial is, but go pop that in over there and just binge without a cause. Thank you very much. Anyway, back to the show. Oh, man. But anyway, looks like the Strays took over that match and somehow went over.
The Strays did end up winning that match, and it was weird because the Strays, you know, the last time we saw the Strays in Without a Cause, I take that back, because I think I might have missed the actual last time they were there. But one of the last times we were there, they kind of went and almost turned heel. They kind of beat down 4 minutes of heat after their match. And I think that the next match after that was they had like a some sort of hardcore match, I think, with them. And I think that was the last time we saw them. So like this time they came out and they definitely were we're working a little bit more, working back like the way they used to, like more crowd friendly, and it was great to see that.
It's kind of weird though; they didn't come back as that kind of heel version yet.
And then I was kind of surprised, but hey, it worked, and then the crowd loved them. I mean, you know, Icky and Ellie are just fantastic. It's one of those things that it's almost like when they tried to turn Austin heel back in the early 2000s. Like you can't. It's the crowd loves him too much. So
no, Austin was the greatest heel / babyface at the exact same time. Right? It was just like
exactly.
You know, some people started to hate, but then it was like, no, this guy is the dude. But yeah, I love me some Strays with the rabies, man. I love when they start like yelling at the crowd, you know, and doing their flips and stuff off the top and just getting there kicking ass. So there's a little note here. It says, due to the no contest last month's match between Young Muscle and the Vros Twins, Strays advanced straight to the finals. So basically, yep. Young Muscle and Vros Twins kind of got screwed.
Does kind of sound that way.
I think this is Mac's fault again.
I'm going to go with that. Let's I have no problem with that. Blame Mac.
Let's always blame Mac. But he knows we love him. Anyway, man. But then the match that, I got to say, that was sponsored by the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast, Pitfall Jones, and the debut of Funny Bone, man. Tell us all about that. I'm just going to shut up and listen.
Yeah, so I'm going to be honest right now. I actually did miss a little bit of this match because I was getting ready. It was the first time I'd ever seen Funny Bone, and he was fantastic. He was a lot of fun, and Pitfall was I feel like Pitfall is doing. He's got the gimmick now where this is like the second match in a row where he's kind of been monster hunting, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it. And he has, for the second match in a row, gotten his monster.
Yeah, I see here that it says the Professor Pitfall Jones defeated Funny Bone, man. And, man, that must have been great having him come in there. I wish I would have been there to meet Funny Bone. But, yeah, Pitfall, man, he gets in there and brawls. You know, we took out the Black Sheep, Dave Turner, who we were just talking about when he was the Black Sheep and not Glory Hole Dave Turner. But and then, you know, Pitfall and Miggs in that hardcore match, you know, with the videotapes and all that stuff. Were you at that show?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and the kids were coming up and beating the hell out of Miggs, too, and Daniel Maccabe. And, you know, so Pitfall Jones can get in there and he can brawl with just about anyone, man. And it's great to see him taking out, you know, Funny Bone, who's you know, another one of the fly-ins, the drive-ins, whatever they do these days. And good for him.
No, Pitfall can go, man. He can definitely go. He is definitely not at all unlike his silver screen counterpart. You know, comes across as very unassuming and mild-mannered, but man, get him into a fight, and he will kick your ass if he needs to.
He will, and he has done well at Without a Cause. But anyway, so then, you know, looking at the notes here at WACProWrestling.com, it says the Bowlers then came out for the match, and Steve came out, mystery opponent. What was going on here? Were you back in your seat at this point?
Yeah, so I was back in my seat. So,
you know, after you went and got a hot dog and a drink?
Something like that. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
So Miggs came out, and I don't think that they actually had anyone scheduled for him originally, or maybe they did and he had to bow out. I don't remember the exact way this came about, but basically Miggs came to the ring and he announced that they, he had went and done some searching, but he had found this big international star to be his opponent. And I absolutely love how they set this up, because so he went and Miggs, you know, did his Miggs thing, which, you know, is just, I can't get enough of. And then he introduced his big international star tag team partner. And at first they started to play Edge's music. And so they got a little bit into Metalingus from Alter Bridge, and I don't think anyone was buying it, but it was still very fun. And then after that, they stopped and went into another song, and that was, I believe, it was the Hardy's entrance music. And again, it was a great spot, and then, you know, everyone kind of got a kick out of it. And then they finally went into the music, and the right music, and then came out Parm Singh, who I hadn't had the chance to see before, but Miggs definitely seemed to be a little befuddled by this choice. Apparently, he did not properly vet his partner before the match.
Was he verified?
I don't believe he was verified, which Miggs, you know, being the verified champion, I could see why he would not want an unverified tag team partner.
Exactly. That's terrible.
So the match went along, and it was a great little match. Miggs was playing the heel, the whole time, and he was trying desperately to get Parm to go along with his underhanded tactics. But Parm is a good guy all the way through, and he was not having it. He wanted to win. If he was going to win, he was going to win fair and square, and he was not going to sink to the depths that Miggs was willing to get the victory. So after trying several times to get Parm to help him cheat in order to win, Miggs got fed up and basically left. And so he left Parm there to fend for himself, and I think he put up a little bit of a fight, but eventually, Cool Dad Chris Ross caught him in a submission hold and was able to get the tap out win.
Oh my gosh, man! So, things went crazy from there, from what I understand. Why don't you tell us about what happened after that? How you're feeling? Your feelings? And just kind of go through it, my friend.
So after that, then these two thugs, Sebastian Wolf and Miles DeVille, better known as State of Emergency, immediately ran out and attacked the Bowlers, and because that's what cowards do. And so they sneak attacked the poor Bowlers after their hard fought match and kicked them out of the ring and basically demanded their second round matchup right there and then. And of course, the Bowlers had just gotten done wrestling a match, so they were certainly not really in any condition to accept this request. So they were going to go off, and the Miles DeVille came out and grabbed me from my seat in the first row. I was booing him, as you know, one is wont to do at a wrestling show. You boo the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And Miles DeVille grabbed me and threw me into the ring. And I, was somewhat perplexed by all of this. And, I was a little shocked, and I said, hey, look, sorry. I was just having fun with the show. And I turned around, and the next thing I know, I'm getting kicked in the chest by Sebastian Wolf. And that was pretty much the last thing I remember. Thankfully, the person who was sitting in my friend who had come to the show and was sitting next to me was recording it, so I got the entire thing on video. But these two guys beat the crap out of me until they got their match.
And so it basically says here in these notes I'm reading that Chris Ross finally had to step up and tell Taylor, make the match right now to save your ass, man. And thank whatever that he did that for you and bailed your ass out of there, man. How are you feeling now after that beating down?
It would have been a heck of a lot nicer had he done it before the kick and the body slam and the frog splash. But, hey, better late than never.
Yeah, I guess so. Better late than never.
Not that I'm at all bitter.
You seem a little bitter towards Chris. We might have to have you guys hug it out sometime or talk on the air.
I'm a forgiving man. I love everybody, so I'm sure that that we can come to a mutual mutual agreement on this.
But speaking of things like that, what about Taylor, our commissioner? What about the The guy that runs the show over there, the cock of the walk, man, Max. What happened, man? They take care of you after this? What's going on?
You know what? I'll be perfectly honest. I don't remember a whole lot afterwards. I kind of got carried to the back and was just in a bit of a daze for a while. So I don't. Well, we will talk. I'm currently mulling over all of my options as to how to deal with this.
So you can't even speak right now, man. You're slurring your words. Something is wrong.
Hey, don't say that. People are going to think I'm drunk again. I mean, I already gotten enough shit for that last week on the Brian and Vinny show. So we don't need that.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Stop spreading rumors about it.
No. I think you're slurring your words because you've been like face planted. Power
bomb. Concussed. That's what it
concussed.
Is. Concussed.
They've taken you out. But anyway, man. Oh, my God. you know, just back on a serious note. Though, I mean, not a serious note, but just I don't even know what I'm saying. But, dude. That had to, you know, you got your ass kicked, but it must have been the time of your life.
It was absolutely a bucket list item. So now I can stop being silly about it for a second. But yeah, I'll kind of give you a little bit of a background to this. So I had, you know, I've been going to the shows for the last year, a little over a year now. And after one of the shows, I think it was like late summer, early fall, you know, Chris Ross and I were talking, and, you know, just like, I kind of said to him in passing, he's like, yeah, you know, if I was, you know, a few years younger, you know, I'd probably, you know, try and go train somewhere. I'd love to, you know, just do it sometime just for the hell of it. I've been a fan since I was a kid. So, you know, I've been, you know, over 30 years a fan of pro wrestling. And, I said, you know what, I'm definitely probably a little bit past my prime now in terms of, you know, ever being able to do it on any sort of regular basis, but I'd love to take a bump sometime just to do it, you know, whatever, maybe be a manager or a ring announcer or something like that. So a couple months ago, Chris IMs me and he says, hey, you know, if you're still interested in taking a bump, I might have something for you in a couple months. Said, yeah, of course. Let me know. So, I think it was at the January show, we kind of talked about it. We, you know, he kind of mentioned to me what he had in mind. And, you know, I talked to, you know, he had me talk to Sebastian and Miles. We kind of went over things a little bit. And then we set a tentative game plan in place. And then a couple weeks before, I just kind of reached out to him and we kind of, you know, went over things a little bit more. And then, yeah, that was pretty much it. But, it was an absolute 150% bucket list. And I can't thank Chris. I can't thank Max. I can't thank Miles and Sebastian enough for going along with this and letting me do it, because it was literally one of the highlights of my life.
And you walked after that, you know, and so you got to really thank those guys for really, you know, taking care of a dude, right?
Oh, I can't even begin to tell you how good a job they did of taking care of me. I mean, the worst part of anything of the three bumps that I took was the first one. And that was literally just because I didn't, you know, I don't think I quite tucked my chin enough when I was taking them up, and, you know, well, I'm not saying too much, but, you know, and so I kind of, when I landed, my head kind of snapped back a little bit. But nope. Outside of that, I mean, the power slam and the frog splash, they did such a great job of making sure that I was, you know, good. And it was, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, maybe someday I'll get the opportunity to, get my revenge. I can go ahead and say this now, because I actually talked to Chris before the show, and he said I can go ahead and mention it. But he had actually pinged me last week, and there was actually a chance they had actually talked about having me do a tag match to kind of help get my revenge on them.
Oh man, I hope that happens.
Which would have been amazing, and I don't think it's going to happen now, but maybe one of these days down the road. I don't know.
Oh, whatever, man. I hope it happens for you, man. And even if it doesn't, man, you got to get in there and kind of live a bucket list kind of dream kind of thing as a pro wrestling fan. You got to get in there, take a bump,
oh, yeah.
You know, be a part of a show for a moment and just have a freaking blast. And, you know, especially these days with video and the pictures and the phones and everything, your kids can watch that with you. And you're like, What the hell's wrong with you, Dad? Why would you do some shit like that?
No, I'll tell you what. I got home, and one of the first things I did was showed my kids, and they both, their eyes just lit up. And as a father, I couldn't have asked for any better of a reaction than that. It was awesome.
Oh, man. Congratulations to you, my friend. I'm jealous, but it's not something I ever want to do. I'm a little old for that. not in shape like you, my friend. And so not jealous, but jealous. You know what I mean? But congratulations to you, man.
I do.
Buddy. You know, I had some other stuff to talk to you about, man. But just real quick here before we go, you're going to be at the next month without a cause housing?
I was going to say, you spoiled it for me. I was just going to say, absolutely, housing. I will be there, and I can't wait. I have been trying to find as much Dan Housen stuff to watch prior to that, and I cannot wait to see this.
Dude, that's going to be a lot of fun. Dan Housen, War Horses coming back, the return of Daniel Maccabi, and let's see here. Of course, Miggs will be back, Liza Hall. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to see, is it Freya the Slayer?
So that's going to
be a lot of fun. But and then after that, you know, they got the Fool's Gold. Ah, I can't even speak. Without a Cause. Fool's Gold 2, and then I think they got something in May, but then in June, man, MDK and Nick effing Cage, man, without a cause, man, talk about it.
Oh, I cannot wait to see him. So I was kind of busting Brian's chops because I don't know if it was the last match they did, but one of the last matches he did was actually a tag match against one of the opponents was Nick Gage. And so yeah, I've been busting his chops about it. I'm gonna try see if I can get him out there. I don't know if he'll come out or not, but I can't wait to see Nick Gage. I've seen a bunch of his stuff online, and I get such a kick out of him. And as you know, again, in case you're not aware of this, I want him. You know, Nick Gage is for the kids. So.
He is for the kids. Dude, man, just another thing before I let you go, man. I was kind of looking at your Twitter, your Facebook. There's a dude at the Great Fowler. You kind of were putting him over. It looks like he needs a little help, man. You want to mention that on the show?
Oh, sure. That'd be great. Yeah, the Fowler is, you know, he's a big wrestling fan. He's a subscriber to the website, to the Observer website, and he's definitely been going through some tough times. He's making, I think, his third trip to the hospital. Since I want to say the beginning of the year, he's been having some rough issues, you know, heart issues, I think. But, he was asking for, just some assistance to get, help pay with his medical bills and stuff like that. So I had retweeted it, and I will retweet it again because I can't find it right in front of me. But, you can find it, help out. If you want to go to my Twitter, at producer_Rob. And if you feel like helping him out, I'm sure he would appreciate, any help from a fellow hardcore wrestling fan.
I got you here. It looks like he's got a PayPal up here. Pay Jay Dumont, JAYDUMONT. Is that it? Okay.
Yes, so, that is the one.
Yeah, man. You can check him out at The Great Fowler, which is FOWLER, man. But anyway, man, I'm going to let you go. I got to get going, too. I got to get in there and watch some AEW. We got to see if Matt Hardy is showing up tonight. I don't know. I haven't looked at Twitter. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll be interested to see how that I've heard a few things. I've been kind of half-heartedly flipping through Twitter this evening, and there definitely seems some things have happened, but I haven't quite seen everything yet. So yeah.
I've been a good boy and stayed off my phone here the last couple hours, other than looking up some stuff that we were going to talk about. So anyway, man, if you want to follow my man, producer Rob Housen, how do we find you?
like I said, is at producer_Rob. Follow me. All sorts of insanity and the occasional random drunken post on a weekend.
What's that little show you do each week? Where do we find that and hear you?
Oh, yeah, those guys. Yeah.
You know, so you carry those guys. We all know you carry those guys, man.
Well, I'm glad somebody thinks so. Somebody other than myself thinks so. Yes, at F4W Online or at Wrestling Observer Online, you can find me there. I am the regular producer, video producer for the Tuesday Night Retro Show with Brian Alvarez, Vinny Verhey, and Craig Proper. We're actually getting down to, we're down to, I believe, 3 weeks left in the Monday Night Wars. So, they're actually hitting the end of the Monday Night Wars portion of the retro shows. So I don't know what they're going to do once they get to the last Nitro. But either way,
you out of a job after that or what?
I'm pretty sure there's still going to be something for me to do there, just a hunch. But we do. So I'm there every Tuesday for the retro show. I am there usually every Sunday after a WWE pay-per-view as well for that show. But definitely, check it out, subscribe. I want to say it's something like 15 to 18 different shows a week between him and Dave Meltzer and, everyone else on the site. He does a show with Filthy Tom Lawler every week.
Oh,
they
man.
Review SmackDown. He and Vinny do reviews of the Wednesday night programs. Brian does a show with Vinny and his grandmother on Sunday nights, which is just,
that's awesome,
without question the show on the network. But there's a lot of great stuff there, and you can subscribe, and it's you have access to everything on the site.
Isn't Jim Valley over there too?
Yes, Jim Valley is there.
Don't forget my dude, man. He's a Northwest dude.
Love Jim Valley. I finally got to meet him for the first time. Going down to Brian and I drove down to Portland for Takeover.
All right,
I actually got to meet him in person for the first time, and he's a wonderful, wonderful person, a wonderful human being, and just an absolute cornucopia of knowledge when it comes to professional wrestling.
All right, my man. I'll let you go, and I will see you Saturday. By the way, March. The 21st, without a cause, housing, man. Have a good night.
You got it, my brother. Thanks.
This episode recorded at the Bigfoot headquarters. This has been a Swagamore production.